The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
If you would open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, I used to joke when I would go up, I would say, "Hey, I know I just have one Sunday, but we're going to do a quick survey of the book of Numbers," and it would be like, "Okay, great." But this morning we're going to be in Numbers 13 and 14, and I think for me, just speaking for myself, this was an incredibly encouraging and very convicting grieving passage for me as I thought about how I use my words, how my words can influence other people. A lot of when we come up with how we're going to present something, what our ideas, it's all a matter of perspective, right? We could be looking at the same thing, but we can have two different perspectives on what it is that we're looking at. And based off of that perspective, then we may or may not have a different way of explaining things to people. And especially as we're going to read here about the spies that went in to spy out the land of Canaan, they saw the same thing. There was no real argument about what they saw and, you know, literally the things that they saw. But their perspective on what they saw influenced the words they used to describe it. And they had vastly different possible outcomes of what was gonna go on. When we think about influencers and things that influence people, right now, I don't know, most of you probably keep up with what's happening, but our government is really looking into the way big tech platforms like Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, how they can influence culture and society because they have such a large platform. And I'm not here to talk about that. But just the fact of the matter is they have a great amount of influence. And it's drawn enough attention from our government, from the European Union, from Asia, basically worldwide. It's drawn enough attention that they want to look into how can they, in a healthy way, limit the amount of influence these big companies can have on people like me and you. Even on a smaller level, most of us have used social media platforms at one point or another. Most of us have. Some of us haven't, but most of us have. Things like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. These are not bad things in themselves, but they're platforms of influence. They even call them Instagram influencers. There are people, a lady that I read about, her title was an influencer on Instagram. People recognize that whatever platform they have, this is a platform through which I can influence what you think or your perspective on social events, on this book. That's why the Bible says if anyone, you know, aspires to be a teacher, it's a weighty thing. Don't take that lightly at all because you're influencing people. All of us, whether you're right here, whether you're the boss at your company, whether you're a teacher, whether you're this or that, we all have influence. We have influence on our friends. We have influence on our family. We all have a measure of influence, and God takes that very seriously. So let's read here and start reading in Numbers 13 and 14. I want us to just kind of open up here, Numbers 13, 1 through 4. And then we're going to skip down to 17 and 21 just to kind of introduce things. The Lord said to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, for which I am giving the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all these men who were the heads of Israel. And these were their names. Well, we're not going to get into that, 1 through 3. And then let's go to 17 through 21. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, "Go up into the Negev, into the hill country, and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in there are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the season was for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob near Lebo Hamath. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our minds and hearts to hear what it is that you want us to hear. Lord, I pray that we would take very seriously the platform that we all have, whether it's a small platform, whether it's a broad platform that reaches many people. I pray that we would take seriously the platform that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have a perspective of faith on what you can do and not what we see. Lord, be with us. Help us understand what it is that you want us to understand and apply from this passage, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So God's people were enslaved for a long time in Egypt. God sent Moses, and he said to them, he said to Moses, I've seen the plight of my people, and I want to use you to draw my people out and to bring my people out of slavery to a land flowing with milk and honey. In Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he said, I've seen the plight of my people, and I'm going to pull them out. I'm going to use you to pull them out and send them to a land flowing with milk and honey. So he pulled them out. Most of you are probably well aware of the story of the Exodus, where Moses goes to Pharaoh and keeps telling him, let my people go. Pharaoh's heart is hard, and he keeps saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And so God strikes the land of Egypt with different plagues, with different things that are going on, until finally Pharaoh says, enough, go. So Moses takes all of the people of God, all of the people of Israel, and they lead, and he leads them out, and God leads them through Moses, and God leads them out miraculous ways, splits waters, leads them out by night, a pillar of fire, by daytime, a pillar of smoke. God even says, I'm going to do a thing for my people. In Exodus, he goes on and talks about this. I'm going to do a thing for my people that nobody has ever seen before. And I would dare say that no one has seen since. I haven't seen a pillar of fire guiding, you know, a million people through the desert, or heard of it. I haven't seen the seas split open, literally seen this. Figuratively, we can think about these through the gospel, how God did these things for us through Christ spiritually. But I haven't physically seen these things. God said it. I'm going to do a thing that no one has ever seen to prove to these people and to the whole world that this is my people and that I'm the God that's worthy to be worshiped. So God has done this. He's pulled them out. They've wandered through the desert. They're coming up to this place here in Numbers. They're coming up to the place where God says, okay, you're close enough now for you to go out and spy out. I want you to send 12 spies into the land. So he sends them out in there. He picks them out from all the 12 tribes of Israel, sends them into the land. When they get there, they see some pretty incredible things. If you'll go down to verse 25, they get back, they go out, they're gone for 40 days spying out the land. If you go down to verse 25, at the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land. And the fruit of the land, it was amazing. They had to carry a bundle of grapes on a stick between two men. I don't know about you, my papa had grapes growing in his backyard. When we were in Turkey, they had grapes everywhere. The biggest bundle of grapes I've seen is about like that. You know, full, beautiful bundle of grapes. Beautiful. The grapes there were so big, and the land was so fertile that they had to have a stick. Two guys holding on a stick, the bundle of grapes, because one person couldn't carry it. That's pretty incredible. So they showed them the fruit of the land, and they told them, okay, they're using their, I want you to recognize, I've got highlighted everywhere in my Bible where it says, and they told them. All right, the report they were giving to the broader congregation of people. And they told them, we came to the land. This is the spies telling the congregation. We came to the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. It's impressive. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong. And their cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. These were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. Yes, they said, the land is beautiful. It's everything that God promised. It is truly a land flowing with milk and honey. Look, here's the fruit, everything there. But what did they say? There are giants there. The cities, it's not just villages. It's not just people camped out on the countryside. Their villages are fortified. This is not going to be easy. Their perspective was not what God promised them. Their perspective wasn't coming from faith in what God can do. Their perspective was already coming from a position of defeat. And I want us to be careful as we move forward. These are real events that happened in real time to real people a long time ago. A lot of times we can say that my search for a job is my Goliath, that illness is Goliath and I'm David. You know, we can say that a lot of times we do a one-to-one equation of my personal problems with the giants in the land or the fortified problems. When we're studying scripture and we're looking through these things, this actually happened. The principles that go along with this, God's promise, God's promises, the principles that go along with this can apply to us today as we're facing hardship. The principles that apply, that are in this can apply to what we're walking through today. But I don't want us to get too caught up in the fact that God promised them a promised land. I want us to think, when we're thinking today as God's redeemed people through Jesus Christ, our promised land is coming. Our rest is coming in eternity. Right now, you could say that we're in a period of wandering. Right now, you could say that we're God's people wandering through the desert, looking for the time that is to come, whenever Jesus comes and calls us home. So I want us to kind of on a side say this, but we can know that God has promised good things to them and God has promised good things to us. When God calls us to do something, he's going to equip us for everything that we need to do. If God has called you to a certain point in life, as God has called you to this, just because it's difficult, just because the road is hard, just because the road is long, it doesn't mean that God isn't still with you. It doesn't mean that God isn't leading you. It doesn't mean that God isn't in every step of the way training you through the wilderness in the same way that he trained his people here. And what we have to be careful about is our perspective. What these 10 spies didn't do was have a perspective of faith. What we also have to be careful about as we're wandering through the wilderness, we have to be careful of the words that we use. We have to be careful of the words we use because they can affect other people. So these people are coming from, these 10, the report of the spies, they're coming from a position of defeat, of faithlessness. In verse 30, let's read. Read on. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses. So evidently the people were worked up. All right. So they've been wandering through the desert. They had been expecting, you know, God said he's going to lead us from slavery to a land flowing with milk and honey. This is going to be great. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait for these spies to get back and tell us to go. They get back. There's giants. There's fortified cities. The people are upset. Caleb, who was one of the spies, stands up and says, guys, be quiet. Calm down. Just wait. Yes, these things are true. He does not refute the fact. He doesn't argue the fact that there are giants in the land. He doesn't argue the fact that there are, fortified cities. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it, does he? Not that we have a record of. Caleb says, let us go at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. How do you think Caleb was able to have this sort of perspective? Caleb trusted what God said. Caleb trusted that what God said, he was going to do, no matter what the outcome. Same as Abraham. Abraham was counted righteous because of what? His faith. He had such great faith that when God said, sacrifice your son, your son, he went and did it. He didn't actually do it, but he was preparing. He was walking up and he said, don't worry. When Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say to Isaac? The Lord will provide it. I can't imagine having two sons of my own, children of my own. I can't imagine the faith and the trust that it took Abram to do that, to make that walk, and to get to the point where he's almost ready to follow through with it. I can't imagine that. But God credited it to him as righteousness because of his faith, because God told him, I'm going to make from you many nations, so many that you won't even be able to count them. And I'm going to bless the whole world through you. I have blessed you so that you can be a blessing to other people. This is a perspective of faith. This is a perspective of faith that is righteousness to God. Caleb follows up this report of these guys saying, yeah, it's great, but Caleb says, yes, it's going to be difficult, but we're able to go. The people who had gone with him, the 10, they start arguing. So Caleb, I get this picture, you know, Moses is sitting over here in a seat just taking it all in, you know. Because he's kind of the judge and ruler of everything, and he's the one that sent him out, and he's processing all the information. I see Moses kind of sitting over here just listening. I see 10 people over here saying, it's great, but we're all going to die. This is hard. These people are giants. They go on to say, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They were that big. And then you got Caleb, and you'll see later on Joshua. Joshua wasn't really taking part in all this, but Joshua's probably kind of backing him up like, yeah, man, I'm right behind you, you know, to Caleb. But Caleb's over here like, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but God has parted seas to get us to this point. God leads us by a pillar of fire in the daytime, by a pillar of smoke by night. Whenever the smoke stops or the fire stops, guess what we do, guys? We stop. And whenever the smoke or fire starts moving again, it's time to pack up and move. We're following God through this wilderness. He's told us to go in and take this land, but now all of a sudden we're going to forget what God has done for us. Man, we can go. We can do it. The men came up and had gone with them and said, we are not able to go against these people. Oh, Lord, keep me from being like this. Keep me from being from having a perspective of, this is too hard, I can't do it. It's too much what you've called me to do. I can't do this. Keep me, God, from this perspective. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the people of Israel a bad report in the land to spy out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. Do you see what they're doing? They're not just giving a bad report to the leaders in the congregation. They're going through the whole people. In verse 32, they brought the people of Israel a bad report. They're going to them saying, they're politicking, you know. They're going around saying, you know, the land we've gone to spy out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that are in it are of great height. We seem like grasshoppers to them. And, they're going around using their words based off of their faithless, fearful perspective, using their words to sway the people of God. This is where I got convicted. In my own family, in my own circle of friends, how have I used my words to sway my wife? How have I used my, at times, heart and attitude of faithlessness and fear to sway my wife, to sway my friends? When have I taken an opportunity just to vent as an opportunity to politic my own position? You following me here? I've done it. I would dare say probably all of us have done it. All of us have, at one point in our lives, seen what was ahead of us, seen the difficulty that could be or that is evident, and we've used our words to sway other people around us so we didn't have to deal with all this, or we didn't have to go through this or go through that. Start at chapter 14. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. Man, everybody's upset because of the perspective and the words of these 10 spies. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron. Again, the perspective of a few influenced the hearts and the minds of many, many people. What perspective, what platform do you have that you're doing that? Let's keep reading here. The whole congregation, in verse 2, there, the second part of verse 2, the whole congregation said to them, to Moses and Aaron, "Would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones would become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Before you judge the people of Israel too harshly, with a sober and objective mind, think about your own life. Think about where you've been at times, maybe even right now. I would just assume quit all of this, especially those of us who've been in ministry for a while. Sometimes you get to the point, you're like, forget these people. Sometimes you get there. Some of us who've been serving in church for a long time, not just vocational ministry. Sometimes when you're serving hard in a church and nothing seems to be going the way you want it to, when things are not clipping along the way you think that they should, you think, just why am I still doing this? Sometimes we get there. Sometimes we even grumble against our leaders. It's important for us to not forget where God has brought us from, where we were and where we are today. God has brought us all from a far way. Spiritually, he's brought us from slavery into freedom through Christ. It's important for us to not forget that God, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that moved heaven and earth to free his people, it's the same God that lives and works in our lives today. When God has called us to do a certain thing, when God has called you to suffer and to work and plow the fields of Mooringsport and surrounding areas, to work in this church, to remain here, to stay and continue to work, it's the same God who rescued his people here that is calling you to do this. It's the same God that freed his people from slavery, the same God that rose Jesus from the dead, that by the power of God, Jesus raised from the dead. It's the same power that works in you as you serve this community, as you serve this church, even though sometimes things look difficult. You transport that to any church in America, any community as God's people, anywhere you want to go, America, anywhere. The God that has called you to be where you are today is the God that worked mightily through his people then. It's the God that's working mightily through you right now, even though you may not even be able to see it. Let's go down to verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the people of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes. Going down there, in verse 7, and he said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. So do not fear them. Let me leave you with that. I would encourage you to read on through the end of 14. We don't have time to go into that right now. It's really fascinating what happens after this. But let me just leave you on this encouraging note here. Caleb operated from a position of faith, not a position of fear. Fear brings faithlessness. Faith brings power. Caleb saw the exact same thing that the other 10 saw. Giants, hard conditions, but Caleb did not let that stop him from what he knew God was going to do. Why? Because he trusted in the God who brought him to that point. God had brought them through the wilderness. They were still in the wilderness. Many of us are still wandering, trying to figure things out. But Caleb trusted in the God that had brought them this far, and he knew that eventually God was going to see them through to what he promised them. Don't be discouraged in doing good. Don't be discouraged as you're wandering through the wilderness. Don't be discouraged as you look around and you seem like the world's burning down around you. Good, it's supposed to. We don't belong here. We don't belong here. We're on a journey that God has brought his people through, trying to get to his promised rest. Don't be discouraged. Look at what God has done. Have the same mind of Caleb. Later on in 14, God punishes the people and says, none of these people are going to see my rest. None of these people are going to see the promised land except for Caleb and Joshua. What did he say? Why? Because they have a different kind of spirit in them. Let's have the same spirit of Caleb. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us to the land and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and don't fear the people of the land. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Don't fear what's in front of you. Trust in the Lord with everything that you have, and he will continue to open doors for you. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for the encouragement that it is to me. Lord, I thank you that that you have personally that you have brought me this far, brought my family this far. Lord, I thank you that I can say the same thing for all of those who belong to you here, that you are leading them, that you are guiding them in everything that they do. Lord, you are helping them work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I pray that we would have the perspective of Caleb. Lord, I pray that we would mind our words, that we would know that no matter what we think about the influence that we may have, that we have influence. And our mouths are to be used to influence people towards you. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the fact that he intercedes on our behalf. Even whenever we're faithless, he is faithful. Thank you for interceding for us. Thank you for the blood that covers us, for the blood that covers our sin that makes us righteous before you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.